For nearly a decade, biologists with the nonprofit Rocky Mountain Wild and the Denver Zoo have studied pikas on the Front Range. This summer, that work is expanding to the White River National Forest as part of a citizen science research project. They want to know how a warming climate will impact the alpine ecosystem and are hoping pikas can provide some clues. Pikas are pretty distinctive.
They look like a potato with Mickey Mouse ears and no visible tail, and they're just adorable.
Megan Mueller is a conservation biologist with Rocky Mountain Wild and co-director of their Front Range Pika Project, a decade-old study of the small mammals. Mueller coordinates field studies, and this year, those will include Independence Pass in the White River National Forest. Mueller is looking to record where pikas are now living, so she leads the way off trail into a stretch of talus, a field of jagged, large rocks.
So the best place to look for them is underneath kind of the largest rocks in the rock field, kind of along the edge.
We scramble over large boulders along the side of a meadow.
There was the pika.
This squeaky chew toy sound is clear evidence that pikas are living in this talus field, and we pause to see if we can spot them. These are also the first steps for citizen scientists who will be participating in the project. Volunteers will trek to some key sites, note if pikas are present, and then record information about the habitat.
How big are the rocks? How close is the vegetation in the meadow? What kind of vegetation is it? How deep are the crevices under the talus?
I think if Independence Pass were to have a mascot, it would be the pika.
Karen Teague is executive director of the Independence Pass Foundation, which is working with Rocky Mountain Wild to mobilize volunteer scientists. Even though pikas have been abundant in places like this, scientists have seen their decline in other parts of the West, including southern Utah and parts of Nevada. Mueller explains that this raises concerns.
Pikas are an indicator of the health of alpine ecosystems because they're so sensitive to changes in temperature and snowpack and vegetation.
That's because of pika's unique biology, which is suited to cold climates. They have a high body temperature, a fast metabolism, and a thick coat that retains heat. They also seek out talus fields because the crevices under these large rocks are much warmer than the surface in the winter, especially when insulated by snow. And surviving through the winter takes a lot of planning and work. Mueller says pikas stash an average of 69 pounds of grasses, wildflowers, and shrubs in what scientists call a hay pile.
Isn't that amazing? And that's about 14,000 trips from their territory out to the meadow to get hay and back.
They're working really hard all summer. And as temperatures warm, it can be deadly for pikas. The same talus that keeps them warm in the winter provides shade and respite from the summer heat. And they need that time to rest in the shade. Their bodies can only warm an additional 2 or 3 degrees.
If they're exposed to temperatures above about 80 degrees Fahrenheit for a long period of time, when they can't get under the talus and cool off, they'll die.
So the warming climate poses a serious threat, and the data Rocky Mountain Wild gathers about pikas will provide information on a changing ecosystem. For example, because pikas depend on snow for insulation in the winter, if that snow melts earlier in the spring when temperatures are still very cold at night, they might not survive. So a decline in pika populations could indicate trends about everything from snowmelt to water supply to threats to other species like Canada lynx that also depend on a deep snowpack. Karen Teague says this chance to contribute to a growing knowledge base is why she's volunteering for the research project.
It's just yet another indicator of what climate change is bringing to a place that we love and care about.
Ultimately, Teague says, this project is about gaining firsthand experience with the realities of a changing natural world, and that goes beyond one species.
I think what we're doing is creating a greater understanding of the animal, greater intimacy with the landscape, and that's how we create great stewards.
Volunteer spots for this year are still open, and Mueller says they'll be back again next summer, too. Elizabeth Stewart-Severy, Aspen Public Radio Environment Desk.